Welcome to day 48 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and today we are reading in the book of Leviticus. It is a challenging book for most modern day believers to go through because it talks about laws that the Lord gave to the Israelites regarding many subjects, but today's particular subjects are law about how to cleanse someone who has leprosy, cleansing a leprous house, and some other issues. But I want you to think as you are listening to these words today that there is a spiritual symbolism that goes beyond the natural reasons that God would have given to the people of Israel about separating people who had skin diseases and making them stay outside the camp for a season before they were allowed back in, making sure they were cleansed. I want you to think about, as we're reading today, the symbolism of these different uncleannesses, such as the leprosy and the skin diseases that are mentioned. Think about that as being a symbol for sin and the various things that are required for a person once they are affected, or you could say made unclean by sin, that there's a requirement for them to be accepted back into the community and able again to go into the house of God to worship. So if you look at it in that way, it will give you some insight, and then we'll have a short devotional about that at the end of this reading. But we're reading today from Leviticus chapters 14 and 15, beginning at Leviticus 14 verse 1. And we are reading from the New American Standard Bible. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Now he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out to the outside of the camp. Thus the priest shall look, and if the infection of leprosy has been healed in the leper, then the priest shall give orders to take two live clean birds and cedar wood and a scarlet string and hyssop for the one who is to be cleansed. The priest shall also give orders to slay the one bird in an earthenware vessel over running water. As for the live bird, he shall take it together with the cedar wood and the scarlet string and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was slain over the running water. He shall then sprinkle seven times the one who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the live bird go free over the open field. The one to be cleansed shall then wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and bathe in water, and be clean. Now afterward he may enter the camp, but he shall stay outside his tent for 7 days. It will be on the seventh day that he shall shave off all his hair. He shall shave his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair. He shall then wash his clothes and bathe his body in water and be clean. Now on the eighth day, he is to take two male lambs without defect, and a yearling ewe lamb without defect, and 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, and 1 log of oil. And the priest who pronounces him clean shall present the man to be cleansed and the aforesaid before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Then the priest shall take the one male lamb and bring it for a guilt offering with the log of oil, and present them as a wave offering before the Lord. Next he shall slaughter the male lamb in the place where they slaughter the sin offering and the burnt offering, at the place of the sanctuary, for the guilt offering, like the sin offering, belongs to the priest. It is most holy. The priest shall then take some of the blood of the guilt offering, and the priest shall put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. The priest shall also take some of the log of oil and pour it onto his left palm. The priest shall then dip his right hand finger into the oil that is in his left palm, and with his finger sprinkle some of the oil 7 times before the Lord. Of the remaining oil which is in his palm, the priest shall put some on the right earlobe of the one to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the blood of the guilt offering. While the rest of the oil that is in the priest's palm he shall put on the head of the one to be cleansed. So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf before the Lord. The priest shall next offer the sin offering and make atonement for the one to be cleansed from his uncleanness. Then afterward he shall slaughter the burnt offering. The priest shall offer up the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him, and he will be clean. But if he is poor and his means are insufficient, then he is to take one male lamb for a guilt offering as a wave offering to make atonement for him, and 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, and a log of oil, and 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons which are within his means. The one shall be a sin offering and the other a burnt offering. Then the 8th day he shall bring them for his cleansing to the priest at the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord. The priest shall take the lamb of the guilt offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall offer them for a wave offering before the Lord. Next he shall slaughter the lamb of the guilt offering, and the priest is to take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. The priest shall also pour some of the oil into his left palm, and with his right hand finger the priest shall sprinkle some of the oil that is left in his left palm 7 times before the Lord. The priest shall then put some of the oil that is in his palm on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the place of the blood of the guilt offering. Moreover, the rest of the oil that is in the priest's palm he shall put on the head of the one to be cleansed, to make atonement on his behalf before the Lord. He shall then offer one of the turtle doves or young pigeons which are within his means. He shall offer what he can afford, the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, together with the grain offering. So the priest shall make atonement before the Lord on behalf of the one to be cleansed. This is the law for him in whom there is an infection of leprosy, whose means are limited, for his cleansing. The Lord further spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "When you enter the land of Canaan, which I give you for a possession, and I put a mark of leprosy on a house in the land of your possession, then the one who owns the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, 'Something like a mark of leprosy has become visible to me in the house.' The priest shall then command that they empty the house before the priest goes in to look at the mark, so that everything in the house need not become unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to look at the house. So he shall look at the mark, and if the mark on the walls of the house has greenish or reddish depressions and appears deeper than the surface, then the priest shall come out of the house to the doorway and quarantine the house for 7 days. The priest shall return on the 7th day and make an inspection. If the mark has indeed spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall order them to tear out the stones with the mark in them and throw them away at an unclean place outside the city. He shall have the house scraped all around inside, and they shall dump the plaster that they scrape off at an unclean place outside the city. Then they shall take the other stones and replace those stones, and he shall take other plaster and replaster the house. If, however, the mark breaks out again in the house after he has torn out the stones and scraped the house, and after it has been replastered, then the priest shall come in and make an inspection. If he sees that the mark has indeed spread in the house, it is a malignant mark in the house, it is unclean. He shall therefore tear down the house, its stones and its timbers, and all the plaster of the house, and he shall take them outside the city to an unclean place. Moreover, whoever goes into the house during the time that he has quarantined it becomes unclean until evening. Likewise, whoever lies down in the house shall wash his clothes, and whoever eats in the house shall wash his clothes. If, on the other hand, the priest comes in and makes an inspection, and the mark has not indeed spread in the house after the house has been replastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the mark has not reappeared. To cleanse the house, then, he shall take two birds, and cedar wood, and a scarlet string, and hyssop, and he shall slaughter the one bird in an earthenware vessel over running water. Then he shall take the cedar wood, and the hyssop, and the scarlet string, with the live bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird as well as in the running water, and sprinkle the house seven times. He shall thus cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and with the running water, along with the live bird and with the cedar wood and with the hyssop and with the scarlet string. However, he shall let the live bird go free outside the city into the open field. So he shall make atonement for the house, and it will be clean. This is the law for any mark of leprosy, even for a scale, and for the leprous garment or house, and for a swelling, and for a scab, and for a bright spot, to teach when they are unclean and when they are clean. This is the law of leprosy. Chapter 15. The Lord also spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, and say to them, when any man has a discharge from his body, his discharge is unclean. This, moreover, shall be his uncleanness in his discharge. It is his uncleanness whether his body allows its discharge to flow or whether his body obstructs its discharge. Every bed on which the person with the discharge lies becomes unclean, and everything on which he sits becomes unclean. Anyone, moreover, who touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whoever sits on the thing on which the man with the discharge has been sitting shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whoever touches the person with the discharge shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whoever sits on the thing on which the man with the discharge has been sitting shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Also, whoever touches the person with the discharge shall wash his clothes, bathe in water, and be unclean until evening. Or if the man with the discharge spits on one who is clean, he too shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Every saddle on which the person with the discharge rides becomes unclean. Whoever then touches any of the things which were under him shall be unclean until evening, and he who carries them shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Likewise, whomever the one with the discharge touches without having rinsed his hands in water shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. However, an earthenware vessel which the person with the discharge touches shall be broken, and every wooden vessel shall be washed, rinsed with water. Now, when the man with the discharge becomes cleansed from his discharge, then he shall count off for himself 7 days for his cleansing. He shall then wash his clothes and bathe in his body in running water and will become clean. Then on the 8th day he shall take for himself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and come before the Lord to the doorway of the tent of meeting and give them to the priest. And the priest shall offer them, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf before the Lord because of his discharge. Now, if the man has a seminal emission, he shall bathe all his body in water and be unclean until evening. As for any garment or any leather on which there is seminal emission, it shall be washed with water and be unclean until evening. If a man lies with a woman so that there is a seminal emission, they shall both bathe in water and be unclean until evening. When a woman has a discharge, if her discharge in her body is blood, she shall continue in her menstrual impurity for 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. Everything also on which she lies during her menstrual impurity shall be unclean, and everything on which she sits shall be unclean. Anyone who touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. and whoever touches anything on which she sits shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Whether it be on the bed or on the thing on which she's sitting, when he touches it, he shall be unclean till evening. If a man actually lies with her so that her menstrual impurity is on him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and every bed on which he lies shall be unclean. Now, if a woman has a discharge of her blood many days, not at the period of her menstrual impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond that period, all the days of her impure discharge she shall continue as though in her menstrual impurity she is unclean. Any bed on which she lies all the days of her discharge shall be to her like her bed at menstruation, and everything on which she sits shall be unclean, like her uncleanness at that time. Likewise, whoever touches them shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, and bathe in water, and be unclean until evening. When she becomes clean from her discharge, she shall count off for herself 7 days, and afterwards she will be clean. Then, on the 8th day, she shall take for herself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, and bring them to the priest to the doorway of the tent of meeting. The priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. So the priest shall make atonement on her behalf before the Lord because of her impure discharge. Thus you shall keep the sons of Israel separated from their uncleanness, so that they will not die in their uncleanness by their defiling my tabernacle that is among them. This is the law for the one with the discharge, and for the man who has a seminal emission, so that he is unclean by it, and for the woman who is ill because of menstrual impurity, and for the one who has a discharge, whether a male or a female, or a man who lies with an unclean woman. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's scripture reading, we again find ourselves reading about specific health laws that were given by the Lord to the people of Israel. Today we heard about the cleansing from leprosy and even about what was called leprosy in the house, which was most likely mold or mildew that was found on the walls of a home. And I want to talk about that because it's a great illustration or kind of spiritual picture of sin and how it affects a family or a person. And if it's left undealt with, it will bring literal death, as the scripture tells us in James 1:15, where it says, "Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death." So we can take this picture that we see here in the book of Leviticus, when someone finds a little bit of mold or mildew on the walls of their house, they were instructed to empty the whole house, scrape it off, replaster, take out the stones that mold or mildew was found in, completely remove it, and then rebuild that house on the inside. And then if it ever crept back up again, they were to pull the whole house down and just destroy it. So it's a picture for us of sin creeping into somebody's life and dealing with it immediately, or the results of not dealing with it immediately end up bringing disaster to the house, the person or the family, so to speak. But I think what's interesting is that one of the things that's mentioned here in chapter 14, that once cleansing has taken place and it's officially, the priest has determined that the person is clean from the leprosy, from the skin disease, from whatever situation they've had, that they were to kill a certain bird and the blood over water, and then one of the two birds is set free, flying away, representing the person has freedom now, but one died and shed its blood for that freedom. It's a picture, it's a symbol, it's representative of the blood of Jesus and the water, the cleansing or washing of the water of the Word of God, and then through that, the person who had that sin issue in their life, so to speak, is free from it. So we can see so much spiritual symbolism in the text that gives us very practical illustrations, but also practical instructions for the Israelites at that time. And these were very effective in preserving health, if you look at them purely from a health standpoint, because at that time, when we're talking about leprosy, we're talking about contagious diseases of the skin and other types of diseases, having a person be quarantined until that disease is completed and out of their body was wisdom that preserved life and also prevented the spread of disease. So we see the wisdom of the Lord in these laws of hygiene, laws of health that are given in the book of Leviticus. But we can also read into this a deeper spiritual meaning from these laws of how, when someone is unclean, how that has to be dealt with and until they are declared clean again and able to come back into fellowship with other people and also able to enter the house of God. And if you look at it from the standpoint of sin, we know that sin itself, sin in a person's life, separates that person from the Lord, that it puts a barrier between the person and the Lord. It's hard to come into the presence of God when you have a sin unrepented of in your life. And until it's cleansed out of your life through repentance, through accepting the forgiveness, through the blood of Jesus, there's this barrier that separates you from God. What happens when a person ignores sin in their life, for example? Then I think that this illustration that we saw about the mold on the wall of the house, if a person ignored mold, for example, or mildew on the wall of their house, what happens in that case? The mold or the mildew will begin to spread. We know that. If you have ever had that happen in your house, maybe in a bathroom where there's water and lots of dampness, and if you live in a climate where that can multiply with heat and things like that, if it is not dealt with, it spreads. It spreads across the wall, across the ceiling, and until it's completely obliterated, it will continue to grow and spread. And we know that that nowadays, it's been very clearly defined that that type of a condition in a house is very unhealthy. If you're breathing in mold spores and mildew, whether you know it's there or you don't know it's there, maybe it's on the inside of the wall and you don't know it's there, it creates a very unhealthy atmosphere for the people who live in the house. And so it needs to be completely removed, cutting the wall out and rebuilding it, or whatever is necessary. It's the same with sin in a person's life. If you ignore it, it will eventually destroy you. It'll destroy your house, so to speak. You're the house of God. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't deal with sin, you let it creep in, you ignore it, you ignore the Holy Spirit prompting you to get that thing out of your life, it will eventually cause you to become more bound, more sick, more in a situation where you could literally die from the results of it, or at least be severely wounded by the sin in your life. I think one of the most interesting examples I found of this was a story about a lady who took a raccoon in as a little baby raccoon and took it in as a pet. And She bought this little raccoon at a pet store, and she thought she could raise it and they'd be lifelong friends, and it's cute and it would sit on her shoulder and she would take it everywhere, and the little tiny raccoon would take its little paws and hold her cheeks and look in her eyes, and she just loved this little raccoon. Well, as the raccoon grew, it wasn't a little cute little baby anymore, it was getting bigger and bigger, and a friend of hers happened to know a zoo veterinarian, a doctor of veterinary medicine who worked for a zoo. And her friend asked, why is it that more people don't have raccoons as pets? Because this person that she knew had the pet raccoon, it was so cute. Why aren't more people having raccoons as pets? Well, the veterinary doctor explained exactly why. And he said, raccoons, after they're about 2 years old, they undergo a really strong glandular change, hormonal change, at about 2 years old. And after that point, they become extremely unpredictable, can be almost violent, and attack their owners, even if they've been raised since they were tiny little tiny pups with that person. They can suddenly turn on them and become quite violent and hurt the owner. And so it's they can bite them and become just really, really dangerous. So this friend of the raccoon owner went to her friend and said, "Hey, I know this veterinary doctor, and he told me this, that after they become 2 years old, they can be very dangerous." So the little lady with the raccoon said, "Oh, it's not going to happen to me. It won't be different, because I raised this little raccoon myself, and he wouldn't hurt me." A few months later, this woman had to undergo plastic surgery on her face because the raccoon had attacked her for no apparent reason, biting her and scratching her face so severely she had to undergo reconstructive surgery. You know, it's a lot like sin. Sometimes sin doesn't look dangerous. Sometimes sin looks almost enjoyable. It does look enjoyable. It looks like something that we can coexist with without any danger to ourselves. What could it hurt? We could say to ourselves. But that's the way sin is. We let it in a small way, like this woman let this raccoon into her house when it was just a baby, thinking it's not going to be a problem. Even when she was warned that it would become dangerous, she ignored that warning. It's the same with sin. Just a little bit of sin, it's not a problem, we say to ourselves. It's not going to create any problems in my life. But as you allow it to stay and mature, then James 1:15 comes to pass. Sin, when it is finished, when it has become fully mature, it brings forth death. And it's the same picture we see in Leviticus. If someone lets a little bit of that leprosy in the house, mold, mildew, which was symbolic of sin, and ignore it, it will eventually take over the house. It will eventually become, the whole house becomes unclean, unholy. And that is a warning to us about the effect of sin. We don't want to be that person that allows what God says isn't holy, what isn't pure, what isn't good into our life, because the reality is, the longer it remains with you, it grows, it comes to maturity, and then it'll bite you like that raccoon bit that woman. And that's something that we need to be very serious about. When you see a little bit of area of your life that you know is not pleasing to the Lord, don't keep it. Repent of it immediately. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to give you a hatred for it. Sometimes that's the problem. We like it too much. And like this woman liked that raccoon so much, she couldn't imagine putting it out of her life. But sin areas in our lives that we know the Lord says are sin, they're impure, there's some things that are not good for us, ask the Lord to give you a heart like he has, where he hates things that are impure. Tell the Lord, I need your heart. I don't have your heart about this. I want to hate what you hate and love what you love. Pray that prayer, and God will give you the grace to put out of your life things that will eventually cause you destruction. Thanks for listening today. Have a great week.